Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Welcome back to the Sports Hub Underground. This is Matt Dolliff. I am here with my co-star, Ty Anderson, as we are every single week at 985thesportshub.com. You can get us wherever you get your podcasts, and I think at 985thesportshub.com. We were having website issues earlier, Ty, but I think we've restored order there.
Yeah, that was me. I fed the gremlins after midnight, and now they're just
No. We don't need to blame you. It's always something underneath us.
No, it was Stripe.
Oh,
he was.
Someone sent me the clip from Gremlins 2 of
the smart gremlin.
No, the one where like they make it look like they screwed up the film projector.
Oh, that's the first one. I think.
Oh, is it? I thought it was the... No, I think it's the second one because they... Or maybe they do it in both, but they...
I believe they do it in both.
They then. Do it... They the one from the second one because Hulk Hogan... It shows a guy going up to Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yeah.
And then Hulk Hogan gets up and is like, hey, you gotta stop that. Hulk, the Hulksters don't like this. The Hulkamaniacs. And then that was it.
Yeah, that's actually like the second biggest cameo in that movie. The first, of course, being Grandpa Munster is a central character in Gremlins 2.
I remember the second one having being like a completely different movie, basically.
Yeah, it's not the same movie.
It's like a weird, gross-out comedy type, where the first one was like a Spielberg Goonies type of movie.
Yeah, and it's like small town. I think Gremlins 2 is like in New York City.
Yeah, Gremlins 2 is more of a weird, gross-out, I don't want to say adult-oriented, but not really a kid's movie, I don't think. It was weird. I remember getting excited to watch it.
Gremlins 2 has the twins that are in Terminator 2.
The twins in Terminator 2?
Well, they don't play twins in Terminator 2, but they play twins in Gremlins 2. Terminator 2, he plays the security guard who...
the
Capri-Sun-looking villain.
I was trying to think. Yeah, no, the security guard that gets a full house.
Yes.
And then he's dead within 10 seconds.
I mean, what a way to go, but...
That is the best way in movies... You know, directors love to, like, pleasure themselves to CGI and stuff, or, like, movie studios. Like, the best way to do something like that where, like, oh, my God, you ran into your past self, hire some twins.
Just hire some twins.
Just do that, you know?
Right.
Seems a lot easier than hiring Armie Hammer to play two different people in The Social Network, you know? As good as he was. I don't know if you saw that movie.
I did.
Oh, I was going to say, you don't do dramas.
No, I saw that movie, though.
I mean, that's a movie that everybody needs to see, I think.
Whenever
everybody our age, anyway.
Whenever, sorry, my sister is texting me right now. She never texts me.
Shut up, Ty's sister. Sorry.
No, I.
Anything? Everything okay over there?
That's what I'm just making sure.
Ty, I think we're just really stupid because last week we were complaining about how we couldn't see each other. Literally, all we had to do was move these monitors aside, and now we got a nice clear view of each other.
Yeah, I didn't know you could move
those.
You're
sitting here like, what are we supposed to do with all this?
Yeah, I didn't know you could move these. And this whole thing is still so new that I'm afraid of touching anything because I'm like, oh, I'm going to break this.
That's what I was worried about. I was like, I don't want to push it too hard. It's like, no, that wasn't supposed to bend and I just break it in half.
Yeah.
That's the thing I worry about doing.
Yeah. No, I agree. And
Dennis Knudsen comes in, the chief engineer, just blasting us with a fire extinguisher. Get out of here. Get out of here.
Right. I have a tennis ball in my hand right now, and it feels like a weapon. And it's not. It's just this helps me keep my restless legs.
No.
I got to be moving. I got to be moving something.
No. I think you should just chuck that off the wall and see what happens.
Yeah.
It just keeps flying around like that thing in Men in Black that breaks everything.
Everything's okay. Everything's okay.
Everything's okay on the Ty Anderson front? All right.
I want to make sure.
Crisis averted.
No, you know how it is. The text that I always tell my family members not to send me is never just text me just saying hey, hi, or hello. Because then I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, who died? You know what I mean?
Never, can you call me or like, I need to talk about something.
Right.
Just please don't be that vague.
Right, exactly. So I just had to make sure. And she just wants to hang out. So,
all right, that's
it's
good.
Very good.
That's
it's good. The that's opposite
good.
Of bad.
That's good. That's yeah. good. That's good. How was your Halloween weekend? I believe you took it easy because you were very busy covering the Bruins. So you needed a night to just like, you know, veg out and do nothing, right? Is that what you did?
Yeah. So Doc had a Halloween party. She was like, hey, you want to come? And I was like, listen, I got to be honest with you, and don't get mad, but no, I do not want to go. she's like, no, that's okay. I was like, you know, we got off the plane in Chicago in September, and the very next day, I had Bruins training camp. And basically, since my last, like, time off, I've been just working nonstop. I think there's been maybe 3 or 4 true days off, and it's just so happened that, like, the days off have been days we record the podcast, which I want to do, so I'm not going to be like, no, I need a day off. Like, so I finally found the time to carve out. Jim Montgomery gave the Bruins Saturday and Sunday off, and I was like, oh, I know what I'm doing, and the answer is nothing. So it was kind of nice. I just sat. I watched, you know what movie I watched for the first time? Grown Ups with Adam Sandler.
Kevin James.
Yeah. What's amazing about that movie, Matt, is that for 95 minutes, Adam Sandler wears a different shirt or hat of a college in New England. Blew my mind. He just never ran out. He always had a different shirt.
I thought you were just going to say he wears a different hat in every scene.
No.
But it's specifically a different hat of a New England college.
Yeah. And he's like,
What did he do with the Northeastern hat on? I need to know as a Northeastern Husky.
Actually, I don't know if he had a Northeastern one now that I think about it. I think he did.
Oh.
I think he did. Dude, if he had Vermont, there's no way he didn't have Northeastern at some point.
He had to have had the Northeastern Huskies.
He had a University of Rhode Island hat on at one point. Like,
God.
Like,
he had the UConn Huskies probably. Was it just New England?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Shout out to him.
But I was laughing because I was like, nobody would wear a BU hat and then wear, you know, a BC thing, whatever, the next day. So I think it was everything. But it's funny because that movie, I believe, was filmed in this area. I'm pretty sure it was filmed in Billerica.
Like, oh, I was going to say, like, I thought they filmed it in Vermont or North Conway, somewhere where there's woods. Don't they go on
I think they did that, but I think there are some scenes that were filmed in Billerica, because I remember when they were making that movie, everyone on, like, Facebook in my hometown was like, oh my God, just saw Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler's been in town for movies like a lot over the last 10 years.
But was that like a lie in your town growing up? Because it was a lie in my town a lot. Where it was like, what? Adam Sandler was here. And you were like, are you just saying that because it's the best actor like of our, you know, age bracket?
I don't think we needed that. We didn't need that in North Andover, because there's like a particular like street, like a rich, wealthy street where like Jim Rice lived there, Adam Oates. You know, like a bunch of Carl Yastrzemski, a bunch of like old Boston athletes live there.
Yeah.
And so they would pop up around town. And so we wouldn't have to like make up, you know, John Travolta went to Sal's Pizza. You know, we wouldn't have to come up with that stuff.
There was a kid I went to school with who was like, Trish Stratus is my stepmom. And I was like, there's no way that's the case. Like, there's literally no way that is true.
I was like, okay, there's only one way to prove that. You need to take a picture of her in the shower.
Come on. Pervert. I
Please,
would say.
Come on. With a towel on.
You didn't say that. We all know what you meant. You're going to hell.
Yeah, no. I mean, the internet doesn't
think Trish
Stratus is attractive.
I've always meant to find this and send it to you, because I've always been curious. So you grew up in North Andover, right?
That is correct.
And so Andover is right near North Andover, I believe.
We are north of Andover.
That would make sense.
I say we're like the Wildlings. You got to climb over a wall. There's cannibals and wolves. It's a mess.
It's a level of Fallout.
Yeah.
I would say that. So there's an old clip of like it's just SNL people talking about SNL things, and Michael Myers is in the clip wearing a crew neck. It's a navy crew neck, and in gold letters it says Andover. That's their colors.
Mike Myers. The actor, right?
Yeah.
You said Michael Myers. You had me confused because it's Halloween talk.
Oh.
So Mike Myers, a Wayne's World guy, had an Andover shirt on.
And I've always wondered if it's Andover, Massachusetts, because it's the exact same color scheme of their like high
school. Yeah, they were blue and gold. Andover, I think the Warriors.
Right. I got to find this clip now because I'm really curious. Yeah.
Well, Jay Leno is from Andover.
Hey, you hear about this? You see this? You see this? Pay me $20 million. I own 75 cars.
I watched the baseball game, the end of the baseball game last night, and they had the news on, after, and the news was like, Jay Leno talks about why he'll never want to host late night show again. I was like, oh, is it because the medium is dead and he's 85? That's an easy interview.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like six tips to get a better night's sleep. Don't use your phone. Don't eat food.
Do not drink a Red Bull instead of brush your teeth when you go to bed at night. That will not help.
10 ways to not forget things. Make a list. It's like, thanks. I didn't know that. Who thought of that?
Oh, man. Michael Myers, by the way, now that you said it, they were doing a Halloween marathon on AMC on Halloween.
Don't they always do that?
I don't know. I always watched Friday the 13th.
I've definitely watched two movies in the series back to back at some point on that channel. That's like a thing. That's like their Christmas story.
I kind of forget how terrible Five is, where it's like the...
Is that the one with Paul Rudd?
It's the one with the niece who like can sense when Michael Myers is going to kill. Because she's like Michael Myers' niece and she has some sort of like telekinetic ability.
I don't think any of them were honestly that good between...
After the original.
Between the first one and the new sequel with Jamie Lee Curtis, when they brought everyone back and it's like, this is the direct sequel. Most of those sequels in between are not that good.
No, they
are not.
You
can at least, with like Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th, you could point to like a couple of sequels that stand out from the others.
Leprechaun gets way better, especially when he just
makes...
No.
I was going to say, what are you talking about?
There's one death where he just makes a woman's fake boobs bigger until she explodes. And I'm just like...
Oh, that's fun.
All right, Warwick Davis. Why don't we take the next few plays out?
Speaking of perverts.
Yeah. He's like, hey! Just running around like a go-kart. Just an absolute vandal.
Yeah.
So what's going on? What about you for Halloween? You did something,
I went to two Halloween parties. Speaking of Adam Sandler, I was Happy Gilmore for Halloween. I didn't do my costume searching in time. I should have done it ahead of time because I wanted to just wear the Bruins sweater. You know, I probably could have gotten one used off Facebook Marketplace or something, you know, for a reasonable price and actually had the sweater, but I had to like use tape and get a new Bruins shirt and a long sleeve shirt. I had to make this whole makeshift costume because I couldn't get, unless I wanted to spend $185 on a Ray Bourque sweater, which I really don't want to do at age 36.
I was going to say, what's wrong with Ray Bourque? You don't want to support
him? Nothing
wrong
with Ray Bourque, but I got a shirt, and it's like, okay, well, now this is my Bruins shirt.
Of course.
Now it's a Brad Marchand shirt, you know? So that was good. Yeah, I went to one party. The first one was outdoor. It was all outdoor. They had a little fire pit going, and then they had a little tent, and in the tent, you know, they had like a space here, so it was warm in there, and they had all the food. And so that was fun. That was fun. That was good. Those are my close friends. Shout out to my friends, Mike and Marguerite, for the outstanding party.
That's good. It was warm because you said outdoors. I was like, I would hate that because I just imagine just being like, cold.
It was a little chilly. It was a little chilly. Not gonna lie, but it was fun. They had the fire pit going, so it was fine. Second party was at my other close friend's house. We just did it at his house. That was indoor. That was more of a small get together, but you know, close friends, and I was Happy Gilmore again. And I got the hockey stick that time. I had the golf club the first night, and the hockey stick the second night. We had a good time. I got a little banged up. Not going to lie. I think it's not fun when I have to drink two nights in a row at this age. It's people know what I'm talking about. You get past age 35. If you ever liked drinking, you get to a point where you realize I can't do this nearly what I could do 15 years ago.
You can't hang.
It just dawns on you. You know, I can handle it in the moment. You know, I'm fine. I'm not like a stumbling mess throwing up everywhere. Really like that, but I'll wake up the next day and be like, I just want to sleep all day, you know?
Yeah, that's I have tough. One Pepsi now, and I wake up in the morning, I'm like, whoa, what is that happening? Yeah. So I can kind of relate in a weird way.
Call you old straight-laced Ty over there.
That's me, baby. Yeah.
No. Old sugar-drinking Ty.
Eat too much candy. Like, what is happening? Yeah. I feel funny.
I want candy. Bubblegum and taffy.
What's that song?
That's MCP Pants.
MCP
I want
Pants, that's what it was.
It's really MC Chris, but as MC... P-Pants, and Meatwad is loves that song.
Yes.
And Carl hates it. He's like, who's been playing that I Want Candy song for a frickin' week? The show
what are you trick-or-treating for? It's freaking May. I forget what the context was for that.
The best is a similar line to that is when Meatwad keeps calling Santa Claus, and he finally comes and goes, Meatwad, what are you doing? It's July.
Yeah.
That show is still like unbelievable. Unbelievable.
What do you mean still? It's still on?
No, I mean like it aged very well. It's still
it
very
aged
funny.
Like wine? Okay, that's good.
There are still things that make me like absolutely crack up with that show.
I used to love the Moona Knights, and you tweeted Turkeytron the other day, that episode.
Dude, Jack Enter sounded just like him. Just
I might
thousands
have to,
of years ago.
before Sigourney Weaver.
And he comes over, and when Danzig is buying the house,
they crafted my sleek turkey body out of the giblets of a monkey, or whatever the hell he says.
Dude, when Danzig is buying Carl's house, and the robot comes in and just says something, and Carl goes, "Oh yeah, I got this freaking robot." He forgot about it.
Yeah, like it's like his old jacket that he left lying around. Oh, got this freaking robot.
I love that show, and that's the one thing I miss about getting rid of HBO Max is not being able to watch Aqua Teen because it's on there. So, but yeah, no, that's Halloween. This is weird. It's first Halloween. I didn't really do anything, and
I didn't watch a lot of scary movies. There's too much freaking sports going on.
That's dude. The Bruins had 9 games in 17 days. It sucked ass. They were really good.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I watched a lot of the Dahmer stuff. So I guess I could have watched movies instead of that.
Gross.
But, yeah, there's still time. I consider like once it gets cold and dark, you can watch a horror movie for throughout the winter. Really,
dude, I'll watch a horror movie on the 4th of July. I don't
care. I'm not a huge. Yeah, I'll watch it anytime. But it's better when everyone's in the spirit. And all that, but that's obviously over. But there's no like Thanksgiving movies really, other than Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I'm not a big Christmas movie guy, so it's like I'm gonna stick with the scary movies for a while. How's that sound?
The scene of John Candy smoking in the car while Mess Around is playing makes me laugh to this day. I'll watch it 100 times, and it makes me laugh every time. Just him like miming the piano basically while he's driving the car to Ray Charles is unbelievable to me.
Yeah, I want to say underrated, but I guess everybody loved John Candy, And he was like a legit movie. He was a star, which is funny. Can you even have that anymore? A guy that looks like that? Like a star of movies?
No,
you have
not
to be
really.
Special. You got to be like a special kind of funny and entertaining, right?
It's funny. He actually came across my Twitter timeline the other day. It was a clip of him in a serious role. When he was in JFK, and I was like, this is blowing my mind, because I only knew this guy. I never saw JFK,
Yeah. I never thought he was, like, that funny, really. I just thought he was likable.
He was.
He was an entertaining guy.
Yeah, I like that movie where he plays, Uncle Buck. Yeah, that one. I was like, he plays an uncle.
Movie?
And then I was like, yeah, Uncle Buck, idiot.
Just thinking, what's that Al Pacino movie? Oh, Scarface,
that one, where he plays the mean guy. Uncle Buck is still great. Love that movie. Even like cameos he did were just fantastic. So yeah.
Oh yeah, he was a scene stealer when he was in like other movies.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Nothing But Trouble?
Sounds right.
Oh, it's an old. It came out 1991. So that's the year you were born. Mm-hmm. So yes. I mean, I don't blame you if you haven't seen it. It bombed. It got terrible reviews. Dan Aykroyd never got to direct a movie again. Basically,
is that the one where they're the couple?
Chevy Chase and Demi Moore get like trapped in like a backwoods, like weird haunted house type place.
And the bear comes in the house.
I think so. I don't remember the whole movie, but they kill people and they get trapped. They try to escape, but it's like a comedy with weird characters and hijinks. And John Candy's in that. He plays a man and a woman character.
Oh, I don't know then. I know there's a movie that I saw that's always on at like 3 a.m, or was for like over the summer, where like a bear comes in and John Candy has to like fight the bear. And that's
oh, you're thinking of The Great Outdoors.
Okay,
that's with him and Dan Aykroyd. I think that's what you're thinking of. Yeah.
Okay, that would make sense.
John Candy and Dan Aykroyd in that, yeah. No, I would check out Nothing But Trouble if you want. There's good John Candy stuff in that.
All right.
And that Digital Underground band, they like perform their song.
Yeah.
All around the world. That song, that
Oh,
one?
Not the Humpty Dance?
I don't think it's the Humpty Dance.
Yeah.
But that grew, the guy with the nose. They have the plastic nose. They like
Rest
perform. They perform their whole thing, and then like this evil judge lets them go. And meanwhile, Chevy Chase is like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! You're letting them go and not me."
Like, he talks to the judge like, "Hey, come here, fat girl. Are you ticklish?" And they're like, "What, sir? I am a judge. You can't say that to me." And then they kick him out.
This is a court of law. Let's be gentlemen here. All right, should we talk some hockey?
Yeah, let's do it.
We're gonna talk some hockey, folks. All right, we're gonna take one quick break here, and then we'll be right back.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
We're back. Ty, Time to talk about the Boston Bruins, who are 9-1. They have the highest point percentage in the league. They have the most goals in the league. We are coming off, I don't know when you're listening to this podcast, but we are coming. This is the day after they beat the Pittsburgh Penguins. 6-5 in overtime. Big comeback win. Down 5-2. They score 4 unanswered. Showed a lot of resilience. Had some bad injuries. And it sounds like these could be long-term injuries that they're going to deal with. But they come back. They win in overtime. You know, they look great offensively. Not so great defensively. Linus Ullmark, step back in goal overall, I would say. Do you have any big picture thoughts? What's your big takeaway from that game?
Big picture, Tristan Jarry stinks, and he's a bad actor.
What was the thing? What was Foligno getting mad at him about?
Because he kept, anytime you get near him, he's throwing his head back. He was throwing his
he
head
flops.
Back anytime you came near him.
He's a flopper.
And the other thing, too, is did you watch the game on ESPN? Or
yeah. Okay. I didn't have the sound on the whole time, if that's
Dude,
what you're getting at.
Yeah. This was bad. This was a bad broadcast in terms of the angle that they were manufacturing here was next level. Like, they were insinuating that the Bruins were running Jarry. And I get why they were saying this. They wanted, it's the juiciest angle based on what happened with Marchand and Jarry last year. It was not a thing at all in this game, though. Like, they acted like David Pastrnak purposely ran him when he's getting pushed into the goalie by Pittsburgh. AJ Greer skates into Jarry at a cool 1 mile an hour, and they're like, "Oh, they're bumping him again." I'm like, "What? What am I? Am
Wait,
I watching
really?
A different sport
you're talking
right
like
now?"
Ray Ferraro is probably who said that, right?
Yeah, the yeah. And then guy. And then Crosby comes flying down and has like a bitch fit about something, and like, "That's a great captain showing that they're not going to take them pushing around their goalie." And I'm like, cool. Well, they are pushing their own goalie, so I would maybe look inward versus getting mad at Linus Ullmark or whatever.
That is weird. I miss NBC. I can't help but think that every time I watch a game on ESPN. I think TNT does a pretty good job, I think, overall.
Well,
they
it's
do
funny.
A better job. Do they have Kenny Albert calling the games?
Yes, and it's funny
okay.
you say this.
So that's why, because I think he does a good job.
It's funny you say this, and I don't mean to, like, I'm not trying to, like, blow anyone up, but, like, all right, you had Ray Ferraro, you had Mark Messier, you had AJ Molesko. Not a single one of those people who played hockey at the highest level was like, yeah, defense need to stop pushing guys into the goalie. They need to get in front of these players and box them out and shove them backwards, not forwards. If this game were on TNT, I feel like Rick Tocchet would have been like, yeah, you got to tell your defensemen to stop pushing your guys into the net. Like,
yeah, Paul
like,
Bissonnette would have said it.
Right. Like,
he doesn't. He's not afraid to, you know.
Yeah, it's just, I think Messier is too... He's in too deep in terms of being like a spokesperson for the league that he'll never say anything even remotely controversial.
But even if he said, he has no energy. He's
no,
boring to
no.
listen to.
Yeah.
Even if he said things, he doesn't say it in a way that you actually want to listen to him talk.
Yeah.
It's like, I get it. He's one of the great players in the history of hockey. But does that make him a good TV analyst? No.
I think Kevin Weeks is their most underutilized guy. He's not on any of these things, and he should be. Like, and I know maybe his schedule is what it is, because I know he does work for the NHL Network as well, and he's kind of all over the place, but, like, Weeksy should be, like, their go-to analyst, because he's very good. He's very good at what he does, and he does call it, you know, right down the middle. Like, I don't know. He's not a guy involved in the league's PR in any respect, so, like, I like that aspect of what he does as well. But it was wild, and I think, but big picture-wise, going back to, like, the Bruins.
Getting back to the hockey.
Yeah. Going back to
that. Was my
going
fault
back to that. No,
for mentioning the broadcast.
I think I wrote about this on the website a little bit today. Was
check it out, folks, 98.5thesportshub.com.
Thank you. You have to be mindful of Linus Ullmark's workload. And I say this because last night was his fifth start in 12 days, and it was also... You know, those games leading up to the start were taxing games. They weren't... Not every game was the Columbus game. It was 4-0. It was over after the second goal. Like,
no,
these
like
have
they
been
had that
taxing
auto,
games.
Oh, no, that Ottawa game was Swayman.
Yeah, but he came in. He was summoned in
right, yeah.
for that. But every game, you know, the Dallas game, the Anaheim game, the Wild game, there was another one I think I might be missing here. But they were all what you consider close and late. You know, like these were down to the wire.
Right. Mentally taxing.
Mentally
He's
taxing
be
and
focused.
Physically taxing. Right. Yeah. And so I think, you know, this reminded me a little bit of.
So you think he was due for a letdown like this, basically?
Well, yeah. Like, do you remember that game in
Dallas
last year?
I assume. Well, sorry. I assume half of Bruins Twitter is saying, see, See, Allmark sucks.
Right. Well, I can't wait.
It's like, no, he's not allowed to have a bad game ever.
No, but do you remember last year, Sunday game in Dallas, they were riding Allmark, and they were riding him pretty hard because Tuca was injured and ultimately never played again. And Swayman was down in the minors. They called him up late. But like it was Cassie saying, we're going to have to ride Allmark here. And the Dallas game was not good. It was like 5 goals on like 15 shots. Wasn't his fault, but he didn't have it. You know what I mean? It was kind of one of those things where...
Just doesn't have it tonight.
I felt like last night was an example of that where it's like, I'm not going to kill him, but I also know watching him, like, he doesn't have it tonight. It's all right. It's bound to happen. So it's just a reminder that you got to be mindful of the workload. At the same time, the way he's playing, you couldn't sit him, right? Because he was just doing so well. But
right. You got to keep riding it.
It's almost like the reminder. It's like, okay, you still got to have that 50-50 split with these guys because neither one is built to play 60 games. It's just not how it is.
Yeah, and honestly, who is in the league anymore? There's not many guys like that.
Right, it's Vasilevsky and then everyone else. And then I would even argue Vasilevsky's not really particularly built
for
it.
Yeah, and it's almost like there are guys out there that might be technically workhorses, but they're not that good. They're like a middle-of-the-rotation pitcher. He can pitch like 300 innings, but he'll have a 4 ERA, you know?
Yeah, the old...
And he'll go 15 and 12.
I was going to say the old Sidney Ponson. The guy was always in the around the league in wins, but also around the league in losses.
Yeah, the old Aaron Harang of hockey.
That's. Oh, his record is 16 and 14. He's like, that's a lot of losses.
Yeah. He's over 500.
It's like, by the skin of his teeth, I would say. But sure, why not?
Yeah. I thought Allmark was... It was really just the second period where it sort of unraveled for him. I thought the first goal... I mean, I was mad at Brandon Carlo on that Sidney Crosby goal.
I was mad at DeBrusk.
You're mad at DeBrusk because was he not?
He just let up.
You don't think he put enough of an effort in there?
You got to go. It's Sidney Crosby. You can't give him an inch. You just can't.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, but
it's
why are we tasking Jake DeBrusk with that? Why is there no defenseman on Crosby? Like, I was just annoyed because Carlo got to the net. He was like almost where is like I'll take that over giving up an odd man rush.
You're asking me to visualize.
But he was left covering nobody basically.
You're asking me to visualize it in my head right now, which is always a dangerous game. I want to say Jeff Petrie jumped up into the play, and so I think Carlo may be thinking pass there, but DeBrusk is on Crosby.
Yeah,
he
could have
kind of
let his
up.
Stick or something.
Yeah,
you know, could have at least disrupted the shot.
Right, and you know, I would say that DeBrusk has been good about turning on the Jets and fighting off chances again. So, a minor in-game step backwards for him in that respect. But ultimately, like the thing that I found concerning was the fact that there was a lot of sequences there, especially in that middle period. You understand it because of the long change, et cetera, et cetera. But There was quite a few instances out there where I was like, these guys have been out there forever. Like, what's going on here, right? So that's where you run into trouble. It's when you're hemmed in and, you know, you have to either take a penalty or give up a goal, basically, to get off the ice. And so that's something, you know, their second periods have been an issue for a couple of years now. Something to be mindful of moving forward, but I mean...
But there was also the Malkin goal I thought was you know, bad defense. They let him right there on the doorstep, backside, uncovered.
I felt that way about the Rust goal. Where Matt Grizzly, I mean, that's where you missed Derek Forbert.
I didn't think, I thought Grizzly had, I don't want to get on to Grizzly too much, but it just felt like the Penguins knew how to play him. It's like, get him, don't let him get the puck out of the zone. Once he gets down there, just get on him physically, you know, disrupt him. And I feel like they got on him like real hard and that he was giving the puck away.
It's
and
also
that
tough.
That led to goals a couple times.
It's tough when you go with the Grizzly Clifton pairing because neither guy is 6 feet tall. It's just hard. It's just a challenge for them.
My guy Monty agrees with my take. You can't have too many of those guys. You just can't.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to win. Tough to win with multiple guys like that in your lineup, especially on the same pairing. That's how he feels. You know, but losing forward, I mean, what can you do? You can't. Lindholm played a half an hour last night. He can't really play much more than that if you're going to keep him upright.
Yeah,
so.
Let's get into Lindholm. Lindholm had obviously, I think, a good night overall, but I thought he was a little shaky early on. But I don't know. I wouldn't put it all on him. I thought maybe like the whole Bruins team felt like they were sort of playing catch up with the Penguins for a lot of that game. The Penguins looked like the faster, more explosive, more assertive team. Like, do you think I'm reading that correctly? Felt like they had the Bruins on their heels for a lot of that game.
No, I don't think you're wrong. I would also say that Lindholm was going to get Sidney Crosby all night. You know, and Crosby on home ice
tough
is going to get his matchups. He's going to get his looks, his chances.
Yeah.
So.
Him and Malkin look as good as ever.
And
they do look like they have a good middle class. between guys like Rust and those guys. So.
Yeah, it'd be great if they had a goalie who could stop a beach ball. But
right. You know, that, do you is that the main reason you think that the Penguins are just 4-4-2 right now, middle of the pack, low in the Metropolitan Division?
Because
they looked real good last night, and then I was surprised to look them up and see that like they were barely 500.
Yeah, I just don't see it with Jari. I haven't seen it for a long time with him. And this has
what
been
has
their,
he ever shown it?
That's what I mean. Like, yeah, this has been their Achilles heel now. You know that Pittsburgh hasn't made it out of the first round, I don't think, since they won the Cup?
And that was with Matt Murray.
2017,
when they beat San Jose.
Yeah.
Or Nashville. I forget which order that was in.
17 was Nashville.
And then they beat San Jose.
Yeah.
Since then, they haven't been out of the first round, huh? I guess it's been Tampa every year.
I mean,
Bruins a couple
they're
years.
They're getting there, but they're not advancing out of that round. And I think the big reason why has been their goaltending. Their goaltending was terrible 2 years ago against the Islanders. I remember watching that series.
Trisha Jarry. Yeah, Trisha Jarry was getting roasted on social media.
Yeah, and
not that that's the most important thing in the world, but you know, I just remember that.
No, but like, you know, but. That's their Achilles heel, right? And so even when the Bruins went down 5-2, I remember thinking, okay, if they can get a goal here before the end of the second period, they're in this game. Because you can get two goals on the Penguins like that.
Mm.
I think what's impressive to me is the way that every night it feels like there's a new guy stepping up and being the hero.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Lindholm. Lindholm has been a monster.
Dude, I got the numbers right in front of me. 11 points in 10 games? What?
Yeah.
Now, look, I don't think Lindholm's going to score 90 points this year, but, I mean, he looks like he has a chance to set new career highs, goals and assists, right?
What did he have, 10? What did he have, 5 assists in 10 games last year? Like, he's doubling his production from a year ago with the Bruins.
That's crazy. Yeah, I mean, just looking at his advanced numbers, it's like the defensively it's not as good as I thought it would be, but I guess that's just a reflection of the whole team and the system and the way they're playing. You know, it's very aggressive. It's not necessarily a meant to suppress a lot of shot attempts. Among defensemen with at least 150 minutes of 5-on-5, they're the 28th in shot attempts per 60 minutes, 29th in expected goals against per 60 minutes. So I guess you could say he's at like the low end of the top pairing defensemen.
Yeah.
In those numbers. But like,
assume every
honestly,
team has
like,
a number one defenseman. He's,
right.
You know.
How much do you even put on him, though? Because he's had Stroman on his pair. You know, like he's had
everybody.
He's had everybody on his pairing.
Yeah. I think that, see, he's a guy that I think, you know, I think he's had some, if you look at the individual games, you know, people do game scores and what have you. He's had a lot of nights where it looks really, like, the game score is really good, even if the analytics aren't. And then there's nights where his eye test, I think, is fantastic versus what you see, you know, on the numbers, on the graphs, on the charts. I just think that he's just been a complete package for them, right? And, I mean, the one complaint that I have about him was how he looked quarterback in the power play out of the gate. But I think that's getting better. Like, I think he's getting better at that as we go.
I mean, you saw last night. Who was it? Who tipped the pass?
It was Zaka.
Zaka.
The goal that makes it 5-4.
Like, that was a great play by Lindholm, I thought.
Right. And put it in a spot. He had
a well-placed pass from a quarterback.
He had a fantastic pass to Pastrnak for a power play bomb against Dallas last week as well. So,
yeah, I mean,
he's
He can do that stuff.
He'll be on the second unit in 3 weeks, right, when Magwell comes back. So, like, it's similar to what we talked about with Clifton and Forber, I believe, where, you know, you get these guys, these second-pairing minutes now, and then when you're healthy, they're in the third pairing, you're like, oh, okay, they're going to beat up on some teams because the matchup isn't as hard.
I can't wait to see what Charlie McAvoy can do.
Oh, it's
going to be insane.
I mean,
you said you meant second power play. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lindholm will drop down there when McAvoy is back.
But it's Lindholm, McAvoy, top defensive pairing most likely, right? They're not going to split those two up.
I don't know. So because you could do a few things here, right? You could do – if you wanted to keep Carlo with Lindholm when you're healthy, you can do that. Like, and now it's like, okay, now you have a kind of a stacked pairing that you view as almost a 1B. Now you can do, you know, Grizzlick and McAvoy if you want out of the gate, see how that looks. I know there was an interest at one point in Zboril and McAvoy. I don't know if that's going to translate. It all depends what happens here health-wise, trade-wise. You know, because Mike Riley and Charlie McAvoy were a good pairing, too. You know, McAvoy can carry just about anybody with his pairing. It's,
right.
It's really about, like, what do you view as, like, the most efficient way of doing things. I would argue, personally, that having McAvoy and Lindholm on different pairings is an awesome balance.
I was gonna say I'm open to bringing back Grizzlick McAvoy.
Yeah,
you know, you maybe try Lindholm Carlo on the second pair, like you mix and match that way.
Right,
I'd be open
right.
to that, especially if you're gonna play this way with the defenseman playing so aggressive. You know.
Yeah, and
you can light people up with the either of the top two lines plus McAvoy and Grizzlick on the back end.
And did you notice what we saw last night when they were trying to tie the game? I saw Pasternak back with Marchand and Bergeron.
Mm.
And so that's kind of an example of what I'm talking about, where it's like you don't have to put them on the same pairing out of the gate. But if it's a third period of a one-goal game and you're like, we got to shut this down, we're going to have Lindholm and McAvoy out there, like, go for it. You know what I mean? Like, so you can do it that way, too, if you want. One thing I've noticed about Jim Montgomery is that he does have a quick trigger when it comes to mixing up the lines and the pairings.
Does he?
He's a little bit like Bruce in that regard, where I think the Bruins...
I thought he was less like Bruce in that
regard. No, through the first 3 weeks of the season, the Bruins had like 10 different line combos that had at least 20 minutes together, and I was like, what the hell is happening right now?
Well, I mean, so, I guess having injuries sort of been played a part in that.
Yeah, I
think when
think
everyone's
so.
Healthy, he's going to keep tinkering?
It all depends. Like
I mean, well,
like who's
I mean,
available,
maybe they need time need time to find a groups that work.
Right. I think right now, I think what they like is they're not going to mess with Krejci and Pastrnak. That was a big part of David Krejci coming back for peanuts. Was like, hey, I want to play with Pastrnak. So that's going to be left alone. You know, I think DeBrusk, Bergeron, Marchand, I think that's going to be left alone. Taylor Hall is going to be playing on that second line, but where do you go from there? Right, you have a lot of guys in your bottom six right now that are playing really well. And, you know, it goes beyond A.J. Greer. It goes beyond Charlie Coyle, who's been awesome. Charlie Coyle's been excellent out of the gate this year.
He scored last night.
Nick Foligno's been fantastic. Like, you know,
what the hell's got into Foligno? That's crazy.
Uncle Nick. Uncle Nick, man. He's rewarding the faith that they showed in him in the offseason by not stapling a pick to trade him or buying him out, you know. And you got idiots like me being like, what are they doing? Buy him out. This is easy. Do it. And then it's like, oh, no, okay, he's healthy. Okay, it's legit. It's real, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, you got a locker room of everyone's pulling their weight right now, and everyone's challenging each other to be better every night. And I think that's the makings of a really, really good team, a dangerous team, too, when fully healthy.
I mean, I think the Monty magic feels real. Feels like that, you know, I guess really all they needed was a new message. You know, not saying they're going to win the cup. I'm not pulling a Mike and Woburn saying they're going to win, not only win the President's Trophy, but break that curse and win the cup.
Yeah, what the hell is
it.
That about? What is he doing?
I fainted.
Why is he's saying Beetlejuice twice. Like, dude, what are you doing?
I fainted. Yeah. No, he's saying Candyman twice. He's going to get his throat slashed.
Yeah.
For that kind of thing. I mean, come on. Come on, Mikey. You want them to not win the President's Trophy. You want to let someone else, you know, let the Golden Knights win the President's Trophy, and then the Bruins take the cup.
Am I still on crack, though? Am I still on crack for saying
Ty's
this team,
on crack, Mike?
For saying this team is going to be really
good?
Did
he even respond to that tweet, or did he no. go, was he home or going into the bushes?
No, he was...
they don't remember what they just said. Like, I bet Tony doesn't even remember saying that, to be honest.
No, they were no-sell me like WCW Hulk Hogan.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, that was you trying to, brother. Trying to punch Hulk Hogan, and he's just shaking his head in your face.
Yeah, no, they're going to be good. And the idea that, like... You know, I think it's funny when you've been tweeting out these, like, the Bruins are good, and people are like, it's early. It's like, oh, so you think they're going to get worse when Charlie McAvoy is back. That's
right,
what
exactly.
you're saying. They're
exactly.
going to be worse when a Norris-quality defenseman is going to be back in the lineup.
And I get that, like, a lot of their players could get injured. You know, Bergeron could get another injury.
But that's like
Marchand,
a natural disqualifier
Pasternak. But, like, yeah, but, like, that's something that you just had to remove from the discussion. Like, assuming health.
Right.
Assuming a reasonable semblance of health. You add Charlie McAvoy to this team, you
nope,
think they're going to get worse?
Not as good.
They might play it well. Like, maybe the goaltending will be worse. Like, I don't know that. I don't think Linus Allmark's going to have, you know, a .940 save percentage.
Well, I heard
all season.
Napkin Legs was on TV last night, and he was talking about the Bruins, and he was
old
like,
catcher's mitt neck over there.
Yeah, and he was like, well, can they score the same way that Tampa and Colorado can? I was like, yes, they're doing it right now. What is wrong with you?
Calgary is stuck like 10 years ago, it feels.
It's just like, but
watch
this
team.
But
can they score like the Lemieux Yaga Penguins? I mean, well, they're not going to beat those guys.
I just, like, they can score consistently because this is the best top nine they've had in like 8 years. If you have Taylor Hall, David Krejci, and David Pastrnak as your second line, you can score goals. You will score goals. That is how that works. You know, Charlie Coyle is not going against second and first pairings anymore. He's going against third pairings, which is where he's at his best. That's why he has like six goals through 10 games or whatever it is. Like,
domino effect.
It's a real thing. And so I think people are just so afraid of saying that the team is good. They're good.
Yeah, and my tweets are they have the most points and the most goals in the league on the current date. And that's all it is. That's all it is.
What are you going to do? You're going to piss your pants about what happens in April or May right now? No. This is a thing. This is a day-to-day experience.
And these are the games they needed to win. These are the games people were afraid had to win because they weren't going to have Marshawn or McAvoy. Now they almost have both of them back, and they're 9-1.
Right.
So what do these people want?
I don't know.
82-0 and, you know, better than Tim Thomas goaltending?
Listen, 81-1 remains on the table. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Oh, true. They already lost. All right. So 81-1. All right.
The best quote ever about that is Brett Ritchie. His quote where he's like, it's an 82-game season. We weren't going to go 83-0 or whatever. And I'm like, what?
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one.
But no, like, they're a good team. And listen, there's going to be a spot where they hit a slump. They hit a wall. It's natural, right? But based on what you've seen so far, I think you're more confident, or you should be, that they can handle those walls better than they were in years past. Like, we talked about this last week, Matt, where they're not reliant on the power play. They're not reliant on a first line. They have guys who are thriving all across the lineup, dude.
Depth and balance.
It's wild to me.
Yeah.
Like barring them, you know, losing an entire line to injury and trading the wrong guy, right? Like it's funny. The Studnicka thing happens and they lose Krejci, and that trade happened. We've talked since they made that trade, so we'll have to get
to that. Right, they traded Jack Studnicka.
We don't have to spend too much time on it, honestly. But
he stinks.
Yeah, he's, I don't know.
Doesn't have it.
That trade was finalized.
Hack Studnicka.
That trade was finalized.
I'm calling him Hack Studnicka from now on.
Like 2 hours before Krejci got hurt, that trade was finalized.
Yeah, that's
it's like,
bad.
Oh, naturally. But then again, like, I don't know. I think it's better that Pavel Zacha is getting these minutes now than Jack Studnicka. That's how I feel about it, because Pavel Zacha.
Yeah, Zacha was good last
factors
night.
Factors in, yeah. I think Zacha has been, you know, I thought he was quiet at center in the Columbus game. And then last night, I thought I saw more of him. Like, oh, okay, this guy can play some center. All right, cool. Like, and that's a tough matchup, too. That's a deeper Pittsburgh team in terms of centers between Crosby and Malkin. So, and even Teddy Bluger, people, you know, they like him a lot, too. So, you know, I just think that, like, this is a key moment of the season in terms of, like, getting these guys some experience now. And you go from there and you see what happens. But, yeah, to your point, the Monty magic does feel real. I think all coaches have a shelf life, and I think that, you know, delivery, a new voice, new ideas, I think it goes a long way. I think, you know, talking to players, namely the players who were on the shelf to begin the year, I mean, they're just excited to dive in, right? Like, they're like, this is a new system, it's a new structure, like, I'm excited. And I think that goes a long way when it's your leaders, when it's like a Brad Marchand who has that energy. You're like, wow, this 34-year-old is pumped as hell. Like, I got no excuse now. He just had double hip surgery. Like, I got to play for him. I got to play for Bergeron. I got to play for Krejci. Like, I think that factor is real, too. I think, like, the do it for Bergeron thing is real.
But I think, yeah, like, my theory, I don't know if any of this is true, but, like, my theory is, like, the Bergerons and the Krejcis of the world, like, they're good with any coach. Like, they just execute the system. And so that's why I think maybe going from Bruce Cassidy to Jim Montgomery was a great idea, a great move, because now he's got all the other guys pulling in that direction. Now everybody feels like everybody is pulling in the same direction, where maybe there was more of a disconnect under Bruce Cassidy, if that makes sense. So now they got the whole roster up and down contributing. And so I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that is, Montgomery's had something to do with that.
Yeah, and I think to your point, you talk about
Jack Adams' favorite right now, Jim Montgomery.
Has to be up there. Has to be
actually
up there.
You know who's good right now?
It's going to be Bruce Cassidy and Jim Montgomery. It's going to be those two.
Cassidy. But like, the Kraken are good right now. And
that
the Buffalo Sabres
that coach
are good.
Dumb.
is it Dave Haxtell? So he's
dumb.
He's not going to hold it up.
All over himself.
Yeah.
No, but it's funny. So you brought up the word disconnect, and I think that's an important word to bring up here.
Disconnect between, like, the players, because the relationship with the coach wasn't consistent. Now I feel it's the same with everybody. That's basically what I'm saying.
And I love that point, because talking to players after the season, they're just, the communication wasn't there. That's the feeling that I got talking to players, is that, you know, they'd have it. They'd have a crap game, and they wouldn't know their standing. They'd be like, "All right, well, I want to get back in the lineup. What can I do?" I talked to too many players who struggled, and basically said, "It was never conveyed to me what I needed to do to get better." And that's a problem. You can't have that. So that's where I admit that I was wrong, right? That I didn't realize that was happening. And I think a lot of things are glossed over when you're winning, like the Bruins were winning, right? Mm. They were one of the best teams in hockey second half of the year. So you're not paying attention to what Mike Riley is complaining about or what Anton Bleed is complaining about. But if communication was an issue and the message was stale, that's a bad mix, right? Yeah. So now you have a guy who's coming in here, has better communication skills, is an effective, like, you watch practice and he'll pull a guy aside and talk to them for about 10 minutes and just, he's laying it all on the table saying, this is what I want. Like, a great example, Matt, of this is Jacob Lauko. He gets sent down.
Also good last night.
Yes.
I like him a lot.
Victim of a numbers game, right? In terms of why he was sent down, had minor league options. Montgomery says he has a long talk with him after practice, letting him know what's going on. What, hey, you're going to be back up. This is what we want you to do. You know, just bring it. Comes up. He's been great. I think he's been great since coming back up in terms of what he does, his role, and what have you. So it's just the message is being received. It's A, being delivered, and B, being received. And when that happens, you tend to have a good team. And so I think that's a big difference when it comes to the coaching.
It's clearly working. That was a great line that you tweeted from Lauko last night. He's like, yeah, I had to look at the referee because he scored last night. He's like, I had to go look at the referee because last game I scored and they didn't allow it or whatever he said.
Yeah.
But then they allowed it and that made me feel good.
So he's got a little
bit of a way of putting things.
Oh, dude. Lauko's got like a bit of a chip on his shoulder, a little bit of swagger. Like
But I feel like he puts it in such a succinct, matter-of-fact way. It's fun. It's fun to read.
Those are those checks, man. That's what they do.
That's what the checks do.
Oh, they're very direct.
I love it.
I love it. Yeah. But
is Allmark Czech or Swedish? What is he?
Allmark is Swedish, and he has a heart of gold. Literally, like Linus Allmark is
about
like
about time this team had more Canadians, Czechs, and Swedes.
Right.
No offense to the Americans.
No, but
you know, you need a nice mix of those guys.
Stop signing guys that I played against, like in Hingham on a random free skate.
Yeah. North Andover Scarlet Knights veterans. You know.
No, but I would say that. Linus Allmark has a heart of gold, and he is way too pure for this market. And I want him to succeed so badly for that reason. He's just like the nicest man in the world.
The fact that that guy has to rise above the hate. Think about that.
Right. He's the perfect goalie. Like, it's like people are like, oh, you got Swayman. I mean, you're blocking Swayman. No, it's like the perfect tandem, those guys. The personalities blend so well. So
obviously, they've needed him. I mean, Swayman's been up and down to start the year. Now he might be hurt.
Yeah. You
know? I guess let's switch. Yeah, let's move on to that. Let's clean out the notebook here before we move on to the big three after this. So Jeremy Swayman looks like a bad injury. His leg got bent backwards, unfortunately, with Patrice Bergeron getting pushed into him.
It looks like at best
you're talking about like a pulled hammy or a quad or something, but could be a knee injury. It's going to be a trip to injured reserve, you think?
I thought I heard Bergeron say knee. The on-ice mics could pick up a little bit of what was said,
really?
And I thought I heard Bergeron mention knee.
The way it bent, though, it's like a patellar tendon type of thing, the way
patellar tendon. I love that you're doing that.
But that's like the front of the knee.
You're that Bostonian guy who's aware of his accent, and now you're making a word that ends in A, E-R.
Patella. He strained the patella.
I always loved him.
He strained his Nutella.
My grandparents would say that. They'd be like, you want a soda? I'm like, you mean a soda? It has an A. You don't have to
worry
about your accent.
That is the weirdest. Yeah, no, that is... It's not so much even that weird that we drop our R's. We add R's to things that don't have them, like banana.
Because you're conscious of your accent.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I need to make sure I pronounce this E-R. You just did it with patellar. It's patella. You're fine.
No, it's the patellar tendon, isn't it?
No, it's an A.
No, I thought it was patella, but you can call it the patellar tendon.
I mean, I don't know. Sure.
I think we're both right.
I love Willy Wonka. It's one of my favorite
movies. The patella is connected to the patellar tendon.
Willy Wonka.
I don't think this is the best sports medicine podcast put out in recent days. To be
perfectly
honest,
we're gonna have Doc Flynn on here.
The point I'm making is though is like the way the knee bent. It didn't look like an ACL or anything.
No, it didn't look good.
If it goes sideways, it's an
ACL.
No, it looks bad. If it bent away, it wasn't supposed to. So
right.
That's not good. What about Forbert? He had an upper body injury. I mean,
he's
going to
go on IR, which means he'd miss at least.
He's
going to
go on IR. Sorry, I cut you off.
No, you're fine. I would say that that's probably where that's going to go. I would imagine leaving the game, block shot off the hand. You got to think broken finger, broken hand, and when you think about that, he's a left-handed guy. Right-handed grabbing the stick. Like if he can't hold the stick, that's a problem, right? So that's something that, you know, would require. If he can't grip the stick, then he's not going to be able to play. Jeremy Lozon went through this his final year with the Bruins where he had a broken finger. I'm not sure how much time he missed. I feel like it was about a month. What do you do from there? Now, luckily, you do have Zboril and Mike Riley on your roster. Now, what I would say, though, is that neither one of those guys is Derek Fulbert in terms of defensive
acumen.
No,
not the same player. You don't have a direct like replacement in terms of playing style, I don't think.
No, and Forbert, I wrote about this on the website too,
95thesportshub.com. Check it out.
/Bruins, I think. No, I don't know. Anyways, but Forbert is actually the top PK guy on the team, minutes per game. He's actually, I believe, 11th in all of hockey in shorthanded time on ice per game. So monster efforts from him on the kill.
He's a guy that, like, it seems like, talk about the message getting through. It seems like Montgomery just said, I know what you do well, just do what you do well, and he's getting the most out of him. He's not trying to make him do anything that he can't, that he's not.
Right. And I don't
know. Trying to make him be anything that he's not. He's just getting the most out of him because he's doing what he does well.
Yeah, and remember that series against Islanders in 2021 where the Bruins were going against Scott Mayfield and Adam Pellick, and you're like, what the hell is going on? Like, these guys aren't supposed to be this good. What the hell is going on? And they just, John Gruden knew how to utilize their size and strength to their advantage. And I think this is something kind of similar to that, really.
Oh, wait, the guy who's now the Bruins defensive coach was on the Islanders that year, is what you're saying? Oh, wow.
Yeah, he ran the defense for under Trotz.
I did not know that.
He was the guy.
Okay, so he's been a good addition, apparently.
Yes. But with Forbert, the other thing, too, is the PK work. I did this math out, or crunched these numbers with some help of Natural Stat Trick. Great website. Subscribe if you don't.
Could use a new design, but I love their stats.
No. love the simplicity of their design. It's fantastic.
Simplicity is one thing. It looks like poop.
No, you want a website that looks like crap, it's the NBA.com stats. Worst stats in the league.
Well, that to me,
heinous.
I guess
crime.
I'm not going to say it looks good, but no, the user experience on NBA.com is maybe the worst on the internet.
It has to be. I think MLB is pretty bad too because you can't put in qualifiers. They're just very annoying.
Yeah.
No, but what I would say is crunching these numbers, looking at this, Derek Forbert is one of like 58 defensemen to play at least 25 minutes on the kill this year. He's top 10 in shots against per 60 and high dangerous scoring chances against per 60. He's been a fantastic penalty killer for this team.
All right, so big
loss.
And
they have the best kill in the league, 94.6%, which is absurd to me to have a PK that good out of the gate. But that's a big loss, right? So how do you manage that? How do you work around that? So between Swayman and Forbert, this is when I think you're starting to look at the injuries and go, all right, kind of need some guys getting back here now. You need Krejci back. You need Swayman to be A-okay. You need McAvoy to be ahead of schedule like Grizzlick and Marchand were, and then you hope for the best. So I think the only thing that can slow them down right now is injuries. It's the only thing that can slow them down because they are shining every night, it seems like.
Yeah, it does seem like that. Even on the nights they don't have their best, they have resilience and they come back. So
they lose I'm not trying to like.
We're going a little long here, Ty.
No, I'm not trying to throw dirt on the Bruce Cassidy Bruins head coach grave here. But they go down 5-2 with Bruce Cassidy behind the bench last year. They lose that game 6-3. Like that's what happens, right? And so it felt like a character win, and it felt like it feels like there's just the vibes around this team right now are immaculate, and that's the best way to describe it. It's just like
good vibes.
Everything is working for them.
Good vibes. Bad for radio, probably, but good for the team, I would say. One more thing, though. One more Bruins thing. When do you think Charlie McAvoy is coming back?
2 weeks.
two more weeks still, huh?
So he's got to up his physicality still. And now the problem with that is not there hasn't been a ton of practice to do that.
But he's out of the non-contact jersey now. He can absorb contact now.
But it's gradual, right? Like, you can't just do one.
He's not going straight to Oklahoma drills, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and he said that to me directly. He's like, no one's running me through the boards right now. And Montgomery admitted, I asked him about that. I said, how hard is that to sort of simulate what he's going to face in game contact in practice? Because you don't want your guys running your Norse.
No, of course not.
And he said, no. He goes, that's the problem. That's why it needs time. That's why, like, you need that first step to be like, okay, how do you feel? You feel good? All right, awesome. Now we're going to up it. And so you got to find out that practice time. Now, I will say this is that November is light on games. It's 13 games in 29 days for them after the hellish start that was October. So they will have practice time. But because of what they got to do, the levels they got to clear, the boxes they got to check, I still think he's about 2 weeks away personally.
All right, good to know. All right, well, we got to take one more break. We're going to come back and do the big three. How does that sound?
Oh, I love it.
All right.
Oh, I love the big three.
Everybody loves the big three. Everyone it's big on Twitter. It. All right, we're going to do that. We're going to take one quick break, and we'll come right back.
Be honest. Wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Welcome back. Ty, time for the big three. I know it's post-Halloween, but I guess this is sort of a post-Halloween.
Perfect timing.
This is a post-Halloween theme because we are doing the big three Halloween candies that we just throw in the trash.
Yeah, we didn't like this.
This is a little different from like our least favorite candies. This is the candy, these are the candies that are showing up on a lot of people's worst candy lists. We're saying throw in the trash because you can't even trade them with your friends. Parents won't even take them from you. So you just got to get rid of them.
Like why are you even? Might want them.
Why are people giving this away?
Yes, you know? Exactly.
You know, the old people down the street should just eat it themselves because the children aren't going to enjoy this stuff.
Did you have any trick-or-treaters? No, you live in an apartment building, right?
So. No, yeah. I feel like I could have trick-or-treaters. I live in like a big apartment building. But it's weird. Like, there are families with children that live there. It's like a mix of like old, young families. Mm-hmm. But like, I never get a knock on the door or anything.
Yeah.
So I honestly feel like I hope I wouldn't be unprepared. I don't want to be caught with no candy and make a kid in a Batman costume cry because I didn't have a Snickers for him.
That kid? Grant Williams. No, I would say that I was kind of bummed we didn't get any trick-or-treaters. I was a little bit bummed.
I think your neighborhood is all old millennial hipsters. They would only go trick-or-treating ironically.
I always see kids walking around, though. That's what's confusing to me. So.
I guess it could be old millennials with kids at this point.
Maybe they're doing what I did when I lived in the city when I was their age. We go to the malls to trick-or-treat because like no one in the neighborhood is giving out candy.
And they're saying there's trunk-or-treat now, I think, where like the neighborhood all gathers in one small area so they don't go running around the neighborhood. There's, I don't know, people were doing it on all different days, too. People were doing it over the weekend.
It's Halloween.
My parents live, in a different, not in Boston. And then their neighborhood, they did it on Saturday, I think. So
no, it's always Halloween.
Yeah.
There's always
it's not theme. Always Halloween anymore.
There's always a theme.
It's different than when we were small children right now. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, candy that sucks. Candy that's going in the trash. Do I get first pick?
Of course.
Awesome. My first pick is Tootsie Rolls.
Really?
Never been a Tootsie Rolls guy. I think they're too hard to chew. And, if I want chocolate, I will just go in a different direction. I feel like that might be a controversial pick. I feel like there's people out there that love Tootsie Rolls. I never liked them. I didn't mind there's like fruity Tootsie Rolls.
I was
going to
ask about that.
I didn't mind those because I like Starburst, but I never liked the Tootsie Rolls. If I want chocolate, I'm going Hershey, I'm going Reese's. I never liked Tootsie Rolls.
Those fruit ones, there's like one that's like an off yellow and brown. That one's disgusting.
Ugh.
It's like French vanilla flavor. I'm like, ugh,
it's the rotten mango flavor.
Yeah.
It's why is this on the list?
It's week old, accidentally half peeled banana flavor. Like, it's the worst. I don't dislike them, but I don't go out my way to eat them, if that makes sense.
Thing is, I might have been able to trade them with my friends back in the day, but I was never a fan. But I wanted that to be my number one pick, just to be like, you don't like Tootsie Rolls? No, dude.
I would say that the best variation of a Tootsie Roll is the Tootsie Pop.
Would you? I didn't mind
that?
Tootsie Pops.
I was like, okay, all right, this is progress. Because
of the commercial with the owl.
A one, a two,
no,
a three,
a two.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, that's right. There was a few of those, right? Was it just the owl, or is there like
it was
another
one? Mr. Turtle, Mr.
Yep,
Tortoise,
turtle.
Or something.
I remember the turtle?
Mr. Tortoise.
Yep.
He's like, ooh, ask Mr. Owl. I think I nailed that impression, honestly.
I think you did, too. That was a staple.
Yeah, I didn't mind Tootsie Pops.
That was a staple of 90s commercials, was that.
Yeah.
Was that commercial.
But Tootsie Pops are gross because you get to the center and there's a piece of gum in there.
No, it's a Tootsie Roll.
Or a Tootsie. Now I remember. I would get to the Tootsie Roll and throw it out.
No.
I would just do the lollipop part.
You'd be like, ugh, they tricked me.
I liked Blow Pops more. Blow Pops were the sweet version where you get to the bubble gum in the middle.
Yeah.
I would just throw it away when I get to the Tootsie Roll.
So Doc bought Halloween candy, and she was trying to kill the children because she bought all of this candy that had peanuts in it. And I was like, we need something that doesn't have peanuts in it. And so we got a big thing of Blow Pops. So we currently have Blow Pops at the house. So kind of forgot how good the grape flavor is. It's like unbelievable.
Yeah,
That's like the best flavor in the world.
Yeah, cherry, grape.
Oh,
fantastic. Those are my jam.
Blue raspberry, also good.
Yeah.
Good pick. Good pick. I would eat them, but they'd be towards the bottom of the depth chart. That was like my number five starter.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, all right.
Okay.
I went through the aces a bunch.
All right. Wasted pick.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want to get the people talk. I want to see people's takes on Tootsie Rolls. Let us know. 98.5 Underground on Twitter.
Yeah. I'm curious. This is a polarizing topic.
And if you say any slurs, I will block you.
Ah.
Just so you know.
I mean, that's a general sort of rule of thumb.
Now half of Twitter is like, oh, what am I supposed to say now?
All right, number one for me, God, do I hate this candy. Score bars. Disgusting.
Isn't that spelled like S-K-O-R? They're made in some like a weird Viking mountain place.
It's gross. It's nasty. It's like, it tastes like candy that was like left in a disaster from 1923, and then you uncover it and you're like, oh, let's eat this. It's horrible.
Have a Chernobyl bar. No.
Yeah, it's like, I think it's toffee, I think. I want to say
toffee.
Maybe.
Yeah,
but it's just nasty. I've always hated those, and they always tasted expired. They always tasted like they were from the 20s, and you're like, crack a tooth on one of these.
Right.
Did not like score bars. Still
sounds
like
old people
bars.
Chocolate.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure they did like a. I want to say that in when we were growing up, not growing up, but like when we were like in our 20s, I think they had like a score McFlurry. And it's like, who would want this? No one wants this. I promise you, nobody wants to eat this. So
yeah, that's in the Werther's original tier.
Yeah, it's just nasty. Yeah, it's just nasty. It's candy for people who never had candy. That's how I look at it.
I feel like, I don't like remember anything, any particular experience with score, but I feel like there were nights that had to be on the list of like bars that we would get, and I would try it, and it would be disgusting. I'd try to trade it, and then probably just give it away, or like my grandma would eat it. I think that's what my experience with score bars. So that is a solid pick. There's probably going to be people like, aw. That's probably going to rile up some memories of people like, oh, I hated the score bars back in the day.
Yeah, score, and then the one that was like comparable to score was Heath Bar. It was like kind of like the same thing.
Oh, I know the Heath Bar,
And they were both just nasty crap. It was awful. The score bar was also like really like skinny. Like it was oddly skinny where you're like, what even is this? Is this part of a tree?
Yeah, there's nothing appealing about it, nothing appetizing about it.
Exactly.
Which is weird for a chocolate bar. Be unappetizing.
Yeah. So that's my number one pick.
All right. My number two pick is black licorice.
Oh, nasty.
I like Twizzlers. I don't even want to trade Twizzlers. I will eat the Twizzlers. Black licorice. I don't get how anyone likes that stuff. There's obviously people out there that like it because they keep making it.
Yeah.
But I never thought, I always thought that was a disgusting flavor. I can't imagine eating anything that tastes like that. And I drank Jägermeister, which I don't know if you're probably not familiar.
No, I'm not.
Jägermeister is basically liquid black licorice.
That sounds awful.
It's awful. I can't believe I even touched that stuff back in the.
Who cares?
Yeah, no, I'm gonna leave that in. I can't believe I even touched that stuff.
Yeah,
it was gross, but I put it on my list because that's going directly in the trash, and I don't care if even if someone tried to trade for it, I'd be like, no, I don't even want you.
You're
to
like,
eat
no,
this.
I keep that.
I'm not even going to allow you to eat this.
Yeah. No.
This is an abomination.
You are Don Sweeney offering David Backus to the league. Everyone's like, yeah, no, we're good. Thanks,
right,
man.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Yeah. We're all set.
It's not exactly sprinkling talent around the league, trading a black licorice.
I would say, so my stepfather was in bands, and a few of those bands were successful enough to kind of tour around the country, around the world. And he went to Japan on a tour back when I was, I think, in sixth or seventh grade. And he came home and he brought home Japanese candy for me. And he's like, I don't know what any of this stuff is because it doesn't have English. It's no English on it at all. He's like, this is gum. And I was like, oh, cool. I'll try it. Dude, the gum was black licorice. And I was like, this is the worst. Oh. I was like, it was just, I felt like Francis Buxton.
Right. And I was just thought of that in Pee Wee's Big Adventure. Yeah. They give him the black trick gum.
Yeah. That's what it felt like. Yeah. Like, Francis is busy.
You are absolutely being swindled if you get black licorice in any context whatsoever.
It was just, it was so gross. So I'm with you there. Is that something that Twizzlers, do they do that? Do they make like a black licorice one for like Halloween?
I thought they were always all the same thing, basically. Yeah. All part under the same umbrella.
There's one Twizzler that you get on Halloween because it's in the small pack that like doesn't taste like the regular one. It's like cherry flavored instead of like strawberry. And it's kind of like,
I know it's
one.
I know what you're talking about. And it's like shaped differently. It's like a totally different product.
It's like a little thicker and it, like
yeah, it's like little pieces that you can pull off like string cheese. You know what I'm talking about? Is that what you're referring to?
Kind of. Yeah.
I liked those too. I don't remember what
they're called. I think it tastes like chapstick.
Though.
I can't eat that.
I liked them, but I liked the regular Twizzlers better. I mean,
I'm like, what is this? I'm like, this is literally chapstick I'm eating right now.
Twizzlers are underrated. I'm like, do they even still make them? Like, they have a bowl of candy out there in the sports. I didn't see any Twizzlers.
No, tons of Dum Dums though.
Yeah, speaking of Dum Dums, who put that bowl together?
Yeah, what is going on out there?
I'm kidding. Yeah. I stole all the Reese's. Okay, Ty, what's your second pick?
Second pick for me, perhaps similar to licorice in a way. Dots. Dots were horrible because you'd eat dots and they'd be stuck in your mouth for about 3.5 years. You could brush your teeth again and again and again. You're like, I still taste dots.
Now, are dots the ones that are sort of like Mike and Ike's that are like, they're fruity?
They're more,
they're sweet.
They're more gelatinous, I would say. They are way more like, they literally get stuck in your gums. Like, and you need to go to the dentist right away if you have even a tiny pack of dots. Did not care for dots. Would get them a lot. They were part of like this like variety pack that you'd buy at the stores.
That had
like five good candies. Yeah, and they're like, all right, we gotta throw this shitty one in there.
Yeah,
too.
We gotta get rid of this somehow, guys.
Yeah. So that's how they would do it. And
it's the Luxembourg of candy.
It's just not good. Just not good at all. So I would say that's number two for me because it was so common and I hated them. Like, I'd be like, oh, dots, I can have these. And then one bite, and I'm like, it's stuck in my mouth.
Yeah,
like, I'm like, can we call my dentist, please?
Yeah, I gotta call my doctor. Yeah, I think that's a factor, though, that, like, the prevalence is a factor. Like, if nobody's out there, like, Werther's Originals isn't going to be on my list because nobody's trying to give it out on Halloween. The fact that people are trying to give that out on Halloween is what makes it bad.
Yeah. No, one of my honorable mentions will be, like, for that exact reason as to why it's not included in the big three, because I didn't get them a lot.
Right, yeah, exactly. All right, time for my third pick.
Yeah.
I feel like you're not going to like this pick.
All
right, so what I have written
down.
Can't
wait. I'm holding a. I have a tennis ball in my hand.
Like you're not going to be a fit. What I have written down is hot tamales, but it's really like any kind of hot candy.
Idiot.
Hot candy that burns my mouth can go F itself. I'm sorry.
You have a.
Give me sugar, give me chocolate. Don't give me anything that's gonna be hot.
Boy, you got a wimpy ass mouth.
I ain't got a wimpy ass mouth. I just don't like it.
Hot tamales are
coffee.
Not that bad.
I drink hot coffee and hot tea. I like spicy food. I just don't like. It's one of those. I just don't like spicy candy. Like, don't give me don't give me the spice with the candy.
Right.
I'll have some salsa. You know.
Yeah.
I'll have some sriracha.
What the hell's going on right now?
There's three people out in the hall staring at us right now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Should we wave?
You know who that is?
Should we wave?
That's Mr. Hot Tamale.
Should we wave at these people?
No,
that
don't
are,
do it.
That are talking to. I'm staring right at that. I want to see if I make eye contact. This lady I don't know is making like the square with her fingers.
Yeah, no, just keep going. So hot tamales, you don't like hot tamales.
You see, this guy's head is 12 inches wide. We're gonna need a bigger studio.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
It's distracting me.
I
don't
like
the circus animal vibe.
Yeah, I mean, that's hot tamales. I remember warheads were kind of like.
Remember
that.
The killer whale
them.
That killed the people?
Jesus Christ! The sea was angry that day, my friends.
Yeah. Sorry,
hot tamales. There were atomic fireball. There were a bunch of other any kind of like. Burning hot candy, I'm out.
Yeah, Yeah, warheads I don't like. Hot tamales, though, manageable. I like anything cinnamon flavored. That's probably why.
That would be a thing where, like, you might have the one friend that would like the hot tamales, so you could maybe make a trade.
Yeah. I think, you know what it is?
Hot tamales are getting waived, but I tried to trade them. That's their situation.
When you're a kid, right, and, like, that's such a good way of putting it, by the way. But when you're a kid, like, you remember, like, you didn't have your own money. So, like, if you had candy in your house, you'd be like, all right, well, I'm going to eat this because I can't buy my own candy. And so I think because of that, like, I like Raisinets and I like hot tamales because my mom liked those candies. So I'd be like, well, all right, well, if these are what's in here, I got to eat these. Like, that's just how it is. So, like, I think that's probably why I don't hate hot tamales, because Doc hates hot tamales too. She refuses to eat them. So I'm just like, all right. So I keep meaning to trick her and exchange Mike and Ike's for hot tamales and not tell her.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a decent pick, because you're not alone in that regard. That's right. How I would say that. So,
but I feel like that's a good debate. Like, there's people, you either like it or you don't. That's
right,
one of those
right.
candies.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Good pick. Time for me?
Time for your third pick.
All right. So this isn't even a candy, but I get this a ton, and I'm like, what?
I disqualify the pick.
No,
gotta be candy.
No, you can't. You can't.
But if it's given out on Halloween, I'll allow it.
It's given out at a very high frequency on Halloween, and it's the only context which you see this item out there. These popcorn balls, have you ever seen these? You know what I'm talking about? It's just like a ball of popcorn that's like in like a bag. You're like, what?
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like, not a bag of popcorn. It's a ball.
It's
like
ball.
A rice cake, but a ball of popcorn.
It's like the worst. Like, who wants this?
Give me a bag of popcorn at that point.
Dude,
you know what
like,
I mean? Give me a bag of smart food.
I'll deal with your smart food. I'll deal with your Snyder's pretzels. I don't like them, but I'll deal with them. I do not want, like, this weird ball of popcorn.
I'm lucky that I have nice parents that taught me the right from wrong, because I would say thank you to those people, and then I would be so mad afterward. I'd be like, why are you giving me popcorn?
Yeah.
We have this.
And
we
why
have
is it
this
ball
every other,
form?
We have this every other night when we watch the movie that we rented from Blockbuster Video. I need
right.
the special stuff that I don't get very often. Why are you giving me popcorn in ball form, yeah. of all things?
You remember Alf? Now he's back in Pog form.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want this.
It's ridiculous.
No human on earth has ever said, oh, cool, a ball of popcorn. And it was always felt stale. And you never
yeah.
want, what are you going to eat, like an apple?
Yeah, no, that's
what
exactly. It was weird. Yeah, it was like a rice cake.
It was
weird.
Awful.
Rice cakes,
good.
Big three foods I hate. Rice cake might be on my big three. But that's a discussion for another day.
But yeah, ball of popcorn.
That's a great pick.
Who's buying these?
That's a great pick.
Please stop buying these. No one wants them.
I feel like that's a great pick, because I don't know. Who's going to respond to us? But yeah, like the popcorn ball? Nobody's going to say that.
Dude, none of us even know what it's called. We just call it
the
ball of popcorn.
It's the popcorn ball. I mean, what else can you call it?
Just not good. Not a good candy. Don't
weird.
Want it. Not even
just
a candy.
Dip it in butter. What's wrong with that?
Like, I'd get it. Like, microwave this? Like, what is this?
It's
not
like
good.
You're automatically the weird people in the neighborhood giving that out.
Oh,
instead
for
of something
sure.
made of chocolate or sugar.
Absolutely.
Freaking popcorn? What are we doing? Just give me a bag of nuts. Just give me a bag of almonds at that point.
I have a feeling
I'm giving you almond joy without the chocolate.
I feel like our Just Miss the Cuts are going to be amazing.
Honorable mention time. All right. Necco wafers. Disgusting.
Oh, dude, did you see?
You're basically giving out antacids for Halloween. I wanted Tums for Halloween. Thanks.
Do you follow the Boston accent? It's like an Instagram account. It's like The Onion, but
no.
for Boston.
No.
Yesterday, they posted on the first. They said New England children all around New England celebrating National Throat Necco Wafers Out Day.
Like, yeah,
so, exactly, like, your point.
There's people that still give that stuff out. It's like, just hold on to it. I know you're old and weird.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, not for me.
Bazooka gum is on my short list. I don't know why that was. That's like, yeah, I get it. It was popular 60 years ago, but now there's so many other gum choices. Why is anybody buying or even bothering with bazooka gum?
It's disgusting.
The circus peanuts are a popular, like, everybody hates it.
I made Doc try them and she hated it. She's like, what is this?
Like, that's like,
no,
that to me
to
is
it.
Like, I didn't want to have that in my top three, because that's just like almost too obvious. Like,
yeah.
Literally nobody likes that stuff.
No, nobody.
I mean, I guess candy corn I don't mind, to be honest. I know candy corn's a popular one to hate.
Right.
People love to hate candy corn, and I don't love it, but I'll eat it.
Yeah. Those are some good ones.
Small doses, but I'll eat it.
Good and Plenty. Now, this is what I talked about when I said didn't make the cut. I never got a ton of this, but I'd get it. Be like, what are these pills?
Like, oh, they look like the Dr. Mario pills, right?
Yeah, they don't look like...
That's weird.
They don't look like something you should be eating as a child.
Seriously. Lawrence, Massachusetts reports hundreds of overdoses on good and plenty laced with
good
fentanyl.
And plenties. What, I don't even know what flavor. Are they licorice flavored?
I think they're sort of like cherry, strawberry, something like that.
That would be on one of mine. You mentioned one that I hated growing up, Warheads. Didn't like those at all. Like,
oh, really?
It made me like feel weird. And then for me, another honorable mention, you know beef teriyaki at the Chinese food restaurants?
I love beef teriyaki.
Yeah. I like how there is a candy company that's like, let's make these things called sugar daddies. They're beef teriyaki, but just pure caramel. Disgusting. Hate those.
I don't think I know what those are.
Oh, you know sugar daddies.
If I Google it, I'll probably know it. If I see a picture of it.
If you Google sugar daddy, you're going to end up on a weird website.
I mean, that sounds positively revolting.
It's just not. It's. I'm going to pull this up now because you're going to be like, oh, yeah, these.
You know what, Ken, I always thought was overrated is Swedish fish.
Yeah, I
there's people
that
out there that love Swedish fish, but I just never saw it. I just think it tastes weird.
Yeah.
I'll have to get Linus Allmark's thoughts on it, I guess.
Sugar daddies were these things. They were like these.
I can't tell by the packaging.
They were like on a stick.
It's like frozen caramel, basically, right?
It quite literally looked like frozen beef teriyaki.
Oh, okay. Like, no. It looks like a poop. It looks like frozen poop. Beef teriyaki. It's not even close to beef teriyaki.
So I would say that would be on my list. Another honorable mention here. I'm trying to think now. This is interesting. This is where it's really fun for us because it's like there's not a lot riding on these picks. It's just things we just bullshit about.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I like. I think we got to stick to that on the big three. Nothing too serious.
Yeah.
Lively debate, but it doesn't get too heated. We're not going to have roommate stabs other with machete over Necco wafer debate.
So what I would say. This was not a candy. This was a candy that, again, it's sort of your point with the Necco wafers. You didn't see these a lot, but when you did, you'd be like, what the hell is this? Boston baked beans. Like the candy.
What?
Yeah, that was a candy Boston baked beans.
I'd take a can of Bush's baked beans. Not gonna lie.
Especially with the bacon
that.
Flavor.
Would not mind that. Be like Christopher Lloyd and Dennis the Menace eating a can of beans under the bridge.
who's your favorite movie bum? If that one's yours, mine is the train bum in Pee-wee's Big Adventure who's singing "True Fly Shoe."
Oh yeah,
he jumps off the train.
Causing to jump off the train. Yeah, the homeless guys in Dirty Work are pretty good.
I would say my last honorable mention, by the way, the Starburst that would be just like the little two in the wrapping because you didn't know what you were getting.
Starburst is number two candy for me. Reese's Starburst
really?
In my top two. Yeah.
But what if you open it and you got like two yellows? That sucks.
Oh, that's like the opposite of hitting the jackpot.
Right.
Two pinks, a red and a pink, something like that is the jackpot.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they caught on because they make the Starburst Fave Reds. It's the only flavors you need. Like,
yep.
if you like the yellow and the orange, just eat Lysol. I don't know what to tell you. Like, they smell and they have the exact same texture and taste,
yeah.
So go for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Eating Pine Sol over here, frozen Pine Sol.
Remember the Pine Sol lady, speaking of the 90s commercials?
Yes.
Whatever happened to her?
She was a delightful lady.
Ah, she may want to clean.
Honestly, it might be because of her that I purchased Pine Sol last time I wanted to get something to clean the floor.
Yeah.
It might honestly be that lady from the 90s commercials. She was a pleasant, you know.
I hope she's having a good day.
I hope she's living off those Pine Sol royalties still.
You remember cereal in the 90s that you miss, if you had come up with one?
Well, I mean, I guess I could say I miss it because it would not be socially acceptable for me to eat it every day as a 36-year-old man. Mm-hmm. But obviously, I love Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I loved Golden Grahams as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those were like my go-to like sweet cereals.
Waffle Crisp. Yeah, the old ladies in the commercial making it in the factory that they had.
And that's not Honeycomb. That's like not
no Honeycomb ruled. Love Honeycomb. I'll still eat Honeycomb to this day. Bring a box out, I'll eat it right now. I don't care. I'll do it.
No milk. No problem.
So I have three cereals at my house, and I didn't realize what an idiot I am until I looked at them. I have Frosted Flakes, I have Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and I have Frosted Flakes Cinnamon French Toast, Cinnamon French Toast version. I'm like,
that's funny. Yeah,
like,
they're
these
baby.
Are the same. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I got the hybrid of the two cereals I already
That's
owned.
Funny.
So yeah.
All right. This has been late breaking cereal talk.
Hell yeah.
Great pod today, Ty. We had some fun. Talked a lot of Halloween stuff. Talked a lot of nitty gritty hockey stuff. But it's time to get out of here. Do you have any closing thoughts?
Nope. Can't wait to go buy a big thing of honeycomb, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You got me hungry now. All right. Thanks for listening, folks. If you made it this far, thanks. I love you. This is the Sports Hub Underground. You can catch us every week at 985thesportshub.com. You can get us wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Google. Give us a subscribe, rate and review if you want, but we're probably not looking at that. We just want you to subscribe and listen. We need those downloads. We need those subscriptions. So we love all our listeners. We got listeners all over the country, all over North America. We got a lot of listeners in Canada, a lot of hockey fans listening to us, I think. So we love you all. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next week.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.